Welcome to B2B Bites Back, the social media podcast. I'm Luke Brinner-Jones, the founder and MD of OST, the B2B social media agency, and I'm here today, as usual, with Helen Sharp, Director of Strategy and Innovation.
Hello.
Today, we're going to be talking about B2B communities. So what are they, how to create them, and how to drive value from them. Later, in fact, in this session, we've got some special guests as well, as we always
Ollie.
Our very own Ollie Hi. Downing has interviewed Christine Gritman, who is editor at Social Media Pulse, which is an online community for social media professionals, so doubly social media. And I also, a couple of months ago now, she caught up with Ashley Friedline, who is the founder of eConsultancy and Guild, the B2B online community platform. So now Ashley's eagerly waiting for this podcast to come out. So, Helen, big Hi. Question to kick us off with. What do we mean by community?
So it's a really good question, and I think it's something that is ever evolving, but essentially it is a group of people with a shared interest or purpose. And also it's the network of people that surround your brand, and they might not actually be aware of your brand at the moment, but it's really thinking about how you can build up those people, amplify key messages and really get them engaged, and listen to them as well and learn from them.
Yeah, so I think the key thing there being, we think traditionally of a community as a group of people who kind of know they're in a community, and maybe we're talking about people who don't yet. It's a sort of nebulous thing around your brand that kind of, you know, the gauntlet is thrown down for you to somehow harness them in some way.
Exactly, and I think over the last couple of years we've seen the need for an engaged community grow far more than it's ever grown before. And I think, you know, several years ago you might have said, what's a community? And I'd have gone, oh, it's the WI, it's, you know, it's people that meet every week. But actually this is the digital revolution now, and I think it's it's absolutely imperative and critical for business success to have a really engaged community around them.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and how do you create a community then? I mean, we all know that we might have our social channels, we've got people who are interested in the business, you've got, you know, your staff, your, you know, customers, so there are people around you, but how do you sort of coalesce them around the brand?
So I think the first step would be really look under your nose. So see who already is engaged in your brand, whether that's, you know, your employees, your customers, your partners, industry experts as well. So true practitioners in the field, who can you utilise and have conversations with already? And actually, who are your employees already having conversations with? Are your sales team already talking to partners and customers? Just really looking under your nose.
Yeah, start small, niche, focused on the people who really care about your brand.
And then quality over quantity.
Exactly, maybe learn from them as well and be able to expand it from there.
I think that's the key thing. It's constantly listening to those people and adapting your content strategy to mirror exactly what they want.
Yeah, and where do you create a community? Because we've already said it's a sort of nebulous beast around the brand, maybe on your social channels, but there are other places as well, aren't there?
There are, yeah. There's obviously social networks, so public social channels like LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter. Then there's private or public groups. So we've got a bit later from Ashley from Guild. That's one channel. We've also got the private groups, so whether that's on LinkedIn or Facebook, so those really kind of niche communities that's not open to the public space. We can also talk a bit around dark social later as well. And then bespoke communities, so looking at forums, looking at places like Reddit, you know, there's so much conversation on there. Can you take learnings from that? Can you engage those people? And then obviously intranets as well, so internal resources.
Totally locked up. Yes, interesting you mentioned dark social there as well, because, you know, arguably the majority of communities around brands are dark social communities, which might include WhatsApp groups and lists and other things like that.
Yeah, and the great and the annoying thing for marketers about dark social is a lot of the time you can't track it. You don't know what's being said. So really important to always be thinking about that kind of authentic approach with your brand message.
Good point. So last question before we go into our first interview. Why would you do this? What are the benefits for brands?
So many benefits. I think if you don't have an engaged community, you're already far behind your competition. If we talk about brand awareness, actually brand advocacy is so much more valuable than brand awareness. And I think that's the ultimate goal that you should be seeking.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, yeah. And I think, I mean, we've worked with quite a few clients where this is a question that comes up early on in the conversations. You know, where's the ROI? Where's the value? Mm-hmm. And there has to be an assumption, I think, that the broader awareness raising value of having active social channels and public channels will bring benefits for the brand.
Yeah, 100%. And I think increasing customer lifetime value, and it lowers customer acquisition costs as well. Because if you've already got, you know, a group of people that are advocating your brand, that message is going to spread far and wide.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, well, we'll hold off, I guess, on the benefits of private communities, because we've got Ashley in a minute to, who will extol the benefits, you know, in full. But actually, it's worth thinking that, it's a different space, and different spaces have different values in terms of what they can bring businesses. So we'll leave that as a cliffhanger, shall we? Just let people...
Yeah, let them mull over that for a second.
Until we get there. All right, good stuff. Right, so next up, we've actually got the interview with Christine Gritman. And it's from it's with Ollie Downing, who's the community manager at OSD, or senior community manager, I should say. So let's hear from them, shall we?
I'm joined with Christine, who is the senior editor for Community at Social Media Pulse. Hi, Christine. It's lovely to speak with you, and thank you for joining us on this episode of B2B Bites Back.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you very much. I'm really looking forward to getting some of your thoughts around social communities and growing them and sort of engaging with communities on social. So. Yeah, let's kickstart with the first question. For you, I guess, what is the most important thing around B2B brands, not only having a community, but also engaging with them? What's the most important thing around that, do you think?
The most important thing around it is to make sure that you're using it as a place to listen rather than a place to talk. A community shouldn't be viewed as sort of, you know, like shooting fish in a barrel. Like, it shouldn't be viewed as a captive audience. It should instead be viewed as an incredible opportunity to listen to really relevant people, to block out the noise of the broader internet, and instead to say, you know what, these are the people who matter to us. These are the people who we wish to matter to. And using it as an opportunity to deliver exceptional value to them, but also to really listen to them and to engage and to make sure that you're able to take it a step further and a step deeper than you're able to in a more public social forum.
100%. I 100% agree with that, especially, you know, B2B brands as well. There's a big area around there of I think, generating trust, I think, and that's a big part of it as well, I think, you know. You're 100% correct around creating valuable conversation, but yeah, that part of it is really important as well. And so, sort of, you know, what tips do you have on how to best leverage a, you know, especially a B2B community, which is something we're seeing, you know, get more active in recent years. You know, more companies are paying attention to their B2B communities. So, what sort of tips do you have in driving engagements with them, sort of earning trust, and generally getting more people talking to a B2B company? What sort of tips do you have for that?
I would say definitely look at what they're engaging with when you put it out there, and use that as your guide for what to put out there moving forward. Make sure that you're not just going in there with your own agenda. Make sure that your agenda is actively to let the community set the agenda on some level. It doesn't mean don't lead. If it's your community, you, of course, do have to lead. You have to put stuff in there. You have to keep the conversations going. You don't want to be left out of the conversation. You are the host of the party. You need to talk to the guests. But at the same time, you know, you're not, it's not follow the leader. You in fact, have to really respond to them. Be really responsive. Really look at what is interesting them. Ask them what is interesting them, but also look at their behavior. How do they engage when you put out stuff on this topic versus another topic? How do they engage when you put stuff out on this format versus another format? And that really is what anyone should be doing with any sort of marketing, and certainly with any sort of social media. But community is especially important to not make people feel like they've been cast in a role and you're directing the play, or making them feel like they're in a market research study. You know, you really have to make sure that it does feel like a conversation, that they do feel some ownership of that, of those conversations as well. The best sign of a successful community is that it doesn't depend upon whoever's running it in order to be interesting and keep moving. It's really good when people feel enough ownership of the community themselves that they feel empowered to bring up topics. They feel empowered to participate in discussions. They feel empowered to build their own relationships with other people within the community. That's when it's really something that people feel an attachment to. And that's the greatest power there is. So while it's lovely if people are engaging with the stuff that you put out there, you really need to make sure that A, the stuff you're putting out there is led by the things that they've shown that they want, and B, that they feel like they're a part of it as well. They're not just responding to what you're putting out there, but they are in fact part of it.
I could not agree more. I have to say, I love that analogy of being the host of the party. I think that's such a perfect way of putting it. You know, I 100% agree. You've got to go with the flow. And I've said to some of my friends recently and some, you know, colleagues as well, that the best communities are the ones you can, you know, leave alone, the ones who do it themselves. I know that, you know, sometimes makes a community manager like myself sound a bit redundant, but ultimately that's what you want, isn't it? It's a community mm-hmm. that looks after each other, you know, first and foremost, but helps you drive what you want to be putting out there. So yeah, that host of the party, they're the guests. That's such a brilliant way of putting it. And yeah, that analogy I think is brilliant for anyone starting out in community management and people looking to grow a community. But what advice would you have for someone who is trying to grow a community, starting out in, say, a community management role? And what are potentially some of the problems and pitfalls that they could face, or some of the common mistakes maybe that you see?
I think the biggest mistake for sure is people who think that a community is, as I said before, about kind of gathering a captive audience. And that's not going to succeed. If you are selling, first of all, if you're constantly selling to your community, people are not going to stay engaged. People, you know, people buy tickets for movies. They don't buy tickets for commercials. And so you don't want to put people in a position of feeling like they've been had, like they've been sort of tricked into, oh, it's a community. And then they're actually sitting there being sold to. That's not what anyone wants. That will get you low engagement. That will get you people leaving. And that will be terrible reflection on your brand, because it shows that you only care about them as numbers, as transactions. And that's the opposite of what a community is about. A community, you know, some companies may have higher ups who don't really understand the value of a community. Some people may be kind of old school marketers or old school salespeople who are like, well, why are we investing resources in this if it's not going to be about selling? And it's about getting them to understand, first of all, if they need to look at things in that way, if they need to look at people as numbers and figures, the fact remains that this is free market research. You know, I mean, you're never going to get as unfiltered a response as to what people are interested in or will engage with than you will in a community. But again, the people leading the community can't view it that way. The people leading the community really need to come from a place of curiosity and a place of generosity. It needs to be about genuinely wanting to have those discussions, genuinely wanting to be able to serve this community better. And that has to be what you're coming from a place of. Also, another big thing, if you're considering starting a community, don't do it because community is a hot buzzword right now. Do it because you have noticed that there are people who want to have these conversations, and perhaps there isn't a great place for them to already have them. That's another thing. If this need is already being served elsewhere sufficiently, and there isn't really anything that you're planning on adding to it, don't just start your own community just because it's yours. It's probably a better idea to get started establishing your own presence in someone else's relevant community if possible. Obviously, you know, you're not going to stomp into a competitor's community and start, you know, throwing your brand name all over the place. But the fact is, you know, on a personal level, every company has people in it. People can join communities and have a presence. Really look at what the point of starting your community is. What is it bringing that's different? What is going to make people from that relevant audience who are from that relevant community, not really an audience sits and consumes, you want people to participate, but what is going to make people from that relevant demographic come and join yours if they are perhaps already in other communities? What is that point of difference? What do you bring to the table that is new? And the answer to that question cannot be, well, it's about us. You know, the answer to that question has to be deeper, because what you're asking for is not just people's attention, which is already enough of a commodity on the internet. Everyone wants attention. There's only so much attention to go around. Not only are you asking for people's attention, you're asking for people's investment, investment of time, investment of thought, investment in conversation. You're asking people to come have real conversations, and that requires a certain element of trust. So really look at why people should trust you, what you bring that's different, what you bring of value to them. You need to look at your community, not just of its value to you and your company and your organization. You need to look at why this particular community at this particular time for this particular group of people is going to be valuable. Why should they do it? Look from their perspective.
100%. Yeah, I think you're spot on with that. And I think some of the points you raised within that, especially, you know, from a B2B perspective, where, like we've sort of said, communities can be a little bit drier, and definitely higher ups don't necessarily, you know, think it's valuable or want to create a community, but you know, you can't just sell to them because it doesn't work. I think LinkedIn UK, I've got to give those guys a shout out, have really changed up how they were doing it, because they were very much, to me, trying to sell before, and now they're trying to look at how can we provide a benefit, you know, giving people working from home tips, actually just giving people sort of fun questions to answer and bits like that. So yeah, they're really doing good stuff, and I think they're a good example of exactly what you've just said. Do you have any sort of favorite B2B brands who are doing, you know, great stuff with their communities at all?
Oh, unfortunately, I don't really know. I admittedly am not a member of that many communities myself, and a lot of communities online, especially for B2B brands, are support communities. So a lot of them are specifically for people who already use, you know, this product or this company or whatever, and it's about how to use it better. And I'm not a member of any of those, really. I tend more towards general industry communities, stuff about social media. Though I will say I've heard from other people about some B2B companies who are doing it well, especially since, of course, I work for AgoraPulse. Our social media pulse community is about social media in general. It's not about the AgoraPulse product at all. But some companies who are doing it that are about their product that do it really well, HubSpot certainly stands head and shoulders above the crowd in terms of, you know, Christina Garnett has done incredible things with the Hub fans and just with their whole just making people who already feel connected to that company and connected to what it does and connected to the product feel that much more attached to being part of it. It becomes part of their identity, really. And it makes them feel valued in return. And they've done a great job over there at HubSpot with that. Slack has a pretty good community with encouraging people to use the product better and with being responsive to all of that. Yeah, so I'm not a member of a tremendous lot of them, but I have heard good things about those in particular.
Yeah, I've definitely heard good things about, or seen good things about HubSpot, and definitely about Slack as well. So yeah, Yeah, definitely agree with you on that. And then sort of finally, the future of communities on social. I think the big conversation now is what's next and how do you see it evolving?
Well, one thing that we've been a part of is the idea of, you know, you can build a community on social, like literally on the platform, as a Facebook group or something. But increasingly, a lot of communities are building their own independent platforms, as we have. I know a lot of communities conduct themselves on places like Discord, for example, simply because Facebook used to be the place where everybody was, and now that's not true so much. A lot of people are leaving Facebook because of privacy concerns or simply because, you know, Facebook doesn't seem to know what they want anymore. So putting it in its own independent destination can be a powerful thing to do, whether that's a separate platform like Discord, or whether they do what we did at Social Media Pulse, which is we are our own independent destination. You go to socialmediapulse.community. And we do have a Facebook group that has existed long before we built this community. We first had a Facebook group for years and years called Social Media Pulse, and that is still there. But we are increasingly trying to drive those conversations not just on social, but to the socialmediapulse.community website. For a lot of reasons. Part of it is, again, not everyone is on every social channel, not everyone wants to spend time on every social channel. And especially since our Community is built around social media managers, people who do it for a living, who are on these platforms all day, every day for work. They kind of don't want to be on them all day personally. So it's kind of nice to have a separate place. There is a challenge inherent in making people come to a separate destination, but we have found it to be worth it, not only because of that burnout and because not everyone is everywhere, but also, I mean, it's, you've heard people talk about, you know, you don't build on rented land. And social media platforms, you know, Facebook could decide one day to just, you know, toss our group with no notice. It could, you know, Twitter could decide that we can't contact any of our followers, which already is a challenge on some place like Twitter or Instagram. You don't really have that freedom of two-way communication. You don't have the data, and you are really at the whims of these big companies. So I think that bringing communities elsewhere is huge. However, you can't neglect social because, again, social media does have that advantage of being where people already are. So if you want people to discover you serendipitously, if you want people to be reminded of you, if you want to prompt people of, oh, hey, you should go over here because here's something interesting that we're doing, social media is still an incredible tool for that. I think that you do still need to engage on social media. You still need a presence on social media. I don't think anything on social media can be skipped right now because people aren't going to happen to discover socialmediapulse.community, you know, but they may happen to discover it on social media. So I think that that's where it's moving from. Social media has moved from a place to gather your community to being a place to have your community discovered. And again, it doesn't have to be its own independent website like we've done. A lot of people have very active communities on places like Discord. I keep messing that up. Discord. And that's fine too, but communities are moving kind of off of social media. Social media has been a great gathering tool, but again, the concept of building on rented land, especially as Facebook becomes ever more capricious with making decisions on blocking accounts and such, it's just a safer move to own your community a little bit more, but you can't skip social.
Definitely not. No, I agree with that. And I think that you're right. Like starting a place where the community feel like they also own it, I think is that that's the next step for me. You know, nobody obviously feels like they own Twitter, obviously, apart from, you know, those who do, but it's helping people feel like, you know, I've helped build this up and now we've got our own space and I contributed and I own a part of that. I think that's going to be the next big thing, like getting communities involved in building that space for themselves and helping drive it and helping make it a space that works for them because they ultimately know their community better than anyone else. So yeah, that's how I see it evolving for sure. So yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yeah, thank you so much for joining me, Christine. It's been really insightful having you on and I really hope we get to chat again soon.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Brilliant. Thank you so much. Bye.
And I'm pleased to say we've got Ollie Dowling here with us today in person to talk us through this as well. That was a fascinating interview with Christine Gritman there. You know, you must have taken a lot from that discussion. Is there anything in particular you want to pick out and highlight?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing for me is being genuine. And obviously, I do this as my day-to-day job, so it's something I do try and pride myself on. But for B2B communities, especially if you want to grow them, especially if you want to develop them and get the most out of them, it is for a brand to be genuine, to be real. You know, whether that's showing the human element, which I'm sure we'll touch upon, right to the faults and imperfections. You know, every brand isn't perfect. Sometimes they do get things wrong, but it's being genuine means understanding that a brand doesn't decide what works. It is the people, it is your community that decides what works and what works best. You know, they'll show you that, they'll tell you that by simple engagements, you know, likes and comments. And in some cases we get direct messages for some of the brands we work with saying, you know, love this content, want to see more of that, or we can reach out to them and ask that question. So being genuine, asking your community as well, what do you want to see more of, I think is definitely the biggest takeaway for me.
I could tell that you were enjoying interviewing a fellow sort of community host slash manager definitely there as well. So
definitely, it's good fun.
You're kind of person.
Yeah.
and Hannah, I mean, you must have taken things from that as well, I think.
Yeah, definitely. And I think just to follow on from Ollie's point there, I think it's the opportunity to involve the community in the narrative, and it's not just constantly broadcasting to them. And I think, you know, we as brands, we have to find ways to adapt the approach from that broadcasting to audiences to, you know, generating demand and supporting communities through listening and learning. But no, I thought it was a really great interview. And I think I loved what she said about shooting fish in a barrel, because it's so true. It's like you have to be really focused. And I think there's such an opportunity to listen, and what she was saying about, you know, there's this amazing opportunity to listen to incredibly relevant people to your brand. And, you know, not everyone can say that they get the opportunity to talk to people that matter.
There's a lot of brands who, although this has been a very popular sort of mantra in social, to listen, to, you know, respond to your community with things that you know they want because you've heard them talking about it, a lot of brands still aren't in that space. Mm.
They say it, but they're not demonstrating.
No, exactly. Yeah. But there are some that are as well. And again, I know there's a couple of examples you'd pull out who are sort of good at this.
Yeah, I mean, Salesforce, you know, are brilliant at it. HubSpot, absolutely fantastic at it. You know, they see what works. They see what people respond to well, and then they do more of it. Not to the point where it oversaturates it. I think that's the balance you've got to strike. You know, yes, because things do well, you can't oversaturate it, because you either lose ultimately what the brand is about or what your aim is as a brand, and essentially what you're trying to sell. But they definitely roll with what the community is enjoying, and especially what's trending as well. I think that's a big part of it.
We just had a little update there on a laptop. But we'll go with it. We'll go with it. We'll roll.
Sorry.
So I was going to say, the last point in terms of, I mean, the thing I took from that really was around the humanisation of brands as well, which is a big trend we're seeing. And again, sometimes gets lip service paid to it and doesn't actually happen. But I think, you know, bringing the personality through on your channels, opening up a little bit, being a bit vulnerable to your audience goes a long way, especially after what's happened the last couple of years. Is that something you've seen as well, Lee, on the channel?
Yeah, 100%. People want to see faces. I think the humanisation element is massive. Like, you know, the last 2 years that have happened have really turned around, I think, communication as a whole, whether that's between teams, even at OST, you know, we're working hybrid now mostly, so it's changed it from that level right the way to brands and how they advertise. You know, LinkedIn's report on the financial services industry came out recently, and authenticity was the main takeaway I got from it. But, you know, brands have this, especially on LinkedIn, this weird historical legacy of being quite corporate, quite cold. And so they don't get people involved, where, you know, the last 2 years have really turned that on its head. If you want to build this micro community for your brand, you need a face for it. Mm-hmm. And it's better if you have multiple faces who can represent that. And that obviously brings a human element, which personally I love. And I think a lot of brands are finally seeing that, yeah, it works and we can build from this. So I think we'll see it happen more as time goes on. But yeah, it's like we said earlier, brands are doing the listening part. It's just the actions that they need to make sure they're doing next.
Right. Well, thanks, Ollie, for joining us.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Yeah, fascinating. Next up, I've got my interview with Ashley Friedline, who was the founder of eConsultancy and also more recently founded Guild, the B2B communities platform. So Ashley came in and we had a great chat about B2B communities. So have a listen to this. Ashley, I mean, firstly, do you want to just give us a one-liner into your background and why we're talking to you today rather than anyone else?
Yes. So I founded eConsultancy back in 1999, which is the last millennium now. So, and that was a community for marketing people learning about digital marketing and e-commerce. And it started as a free web-based community and sort of turned it into a business in around 2001, 2002, grew into events and training and internationalized it, sold it to Centaur back in 2012, but I'm still there, albeit part-time. But so that was initially a web-based, i.e. only digital community of marketing people, and then we went offline into events and training as well. And then obviously I'd seen the rise of mobile over the last 5-10 years, both mobile web and then more recently messaging, and the rise of WhatsApp being used, for example, for business communications and business communities, and essentially thought that a better job could be done to create a platform
that
was mobile first.
I could do that better.
But focused on professional communities. And so that's Guild. That's the idea behind Guild. And we went live at the beginning of 2020.
Fantastic. Yeah. So we must have been early users of it, I think.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, so definitely.
Thrilled to say. Good. Yeah. So, I mean, I guess, you know, we've seen, you've been around in community for the last 20 years or so, and I've seen the sort of coming and going of various trends and things, but I guess what I'm seeing at the moment is that community's coming back in B2B for B2B marketing. But let's just take it back. In terms of, you know, the death of organic social that's been long talked about, where do you think we are with that currently?
Well, I mean, it's interesting. I was just saying in the beginning, we've got a live poll on this on various of our groups, people in digital marketing, comms, PR, on Guild, and we asked, this was this morning, on average, what percentage of total followers do your organic posts on Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn reach? And basically, it's sort of almost half of the people are saying between 0 and 5%, and actually the majority in the sort of 0 to 1%, which is, I was quite surprised. It feels like what's been happening over the last, well, actually probably 10 years even, but certainly 5 years, obviously more and more people coming online, more and more noise, and as a result, it's harder to cut through, essentially.
Yeah.
I suspect you'll get a power curve, you know, those sort of power curves like this, where you've got a small percentage of people or content goes stratospheric still, but the vast majority, like, you really struggle to get any cut through.
And that and maybe says something about the content as well that people are putting out and the quality of, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, but I mean, it feels to me, in LinkedIn, for example, and even Twitter, that the sort of the volume and the noise has sort of gone up as us marketers and a nice bit of content marketing, you know, the feed is kind of, you know, there's just more and more stuff. So again, trying to get cut through in amongst that, I think, has got harder. And so even, you know, Mark Zuckerberg has talked about with Facebook, the move away from the sort of public marketplace type shouting to moving to your living room and much more intimate experiences. So I think there is broadly a trend away from public social media into more curated, private, controlled, vetted environments in both B2B and B2C.
And that's, I guess that's the thing, isn't it? I mean, we have a view of community being your, you know, anybody who's associated with your business, who feels part of it, whether a customer, a, you know, a staff member, an advocate, whatever, and how they engage with you in the public sphere. And so we spend a lot of time kind of nurturing those communities. But you take it sort of to the next level, I guess, in terms of...
Yeah, I suppose I see, if you had the, you know, the sales and marketing funnel, where you've got kind of awareness at the top, that public social media is great still at generating that kind of awareness, that kind of reach, that kind of brand visibility, and it's helpful for SEO and things like that and PR. But I see sort of community probably as a bit further down the funnel, maybe in that sort of desire interest thing, where there's a degree of qualification and vetting, curation maybe, where community is a little bit more intimate than the public social media. And so yes, the sort of the metrics, and even I think again in public social media, we all in B2B and B2C, but certainly B2B, we behave in a slightly different way. So we are less honest, basically. I mean, we're doing marketing as individuals, and because we're professionals, we have profiles. You know, when I'm on LinkedIn, I'm mostly, it's not that I'm being dishonest, but there's certain things that you can't say.
You're playing to a certain audience.
I mean, ironically, on LinkedIn, as a senior professional, you can't say you're looking for a job, typically. Mm. I mean, whereas in more private communities, where it's a bit more quality control, people behave differently. And I think in a good community, they tend to be more honest and transparent and open, and you get clients saying, I'm looking for business. Like, you wouldn't say that on LinkedIn because you just get hammered.
So is it within that community then, it feels like there's a shared sense of purpose. So that's what kind of narrows it down to a group of people who actually want to spend some time together.
Yeah.
But also trust as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, trust is massively important. And that's an interesting and nuanced thing. You know, that's about identity. Like, do I even know who the other people are, and do I trust them? Brand, you know, so who's hosting this, or what, you know, brand is a shortcut maybe, you know, to trust.
Yeah.
The quality of the conversations, you know, obviously privacy and data is a big thing now, so what degree of control do I feel I have over this? Is this going to get republished and shared or not? all sorts of things. But you're right, and certainly for people to be sort of honest and transparent, they have to have some degree of trust
in it. And from a, taking it from a sort of brand perspective, and you know, I was telling you earlier, you know, we work with, you know, some quite big companies that will happily invest in, you know, a lot of paid on social, as most do. We'll invest in organic with, you know, influencers, advocates, some of the work that, that you can do sort of generating awareness through that. But when it comes to community, it's that next step. It's taking that investment and perhaps maybe the taking on the responsibility of a growing entity. Do you see that as a challenge, and how do you overcome that with Guild, for example?
Yeah, I think it is a challenge, and I think it's a bit like you know, what people always say, that it's quite easy to spend money on marketing for anything which can generate sales. You know, so the marketing, advertising, lead gen, demand gen, nurturing, it's kind of leads to sales, and sales is revenue, and everyone likes revenue. And historically, it's always, you know, the people in CRM would go, well, once we've got these customers, we don't look after them properly. And you know, customer retention is underinvested in versus, you know, the customer acquisition. I think maybe that has changed a bit. So the sort of customer retention, certainly in the tech world, you look at customer success, the move towards SaaS type models in lots of B2B areas means that, you know, from a business model point of view, the math shows that, you know, keeping customers and growing their accounts is much more valuable than acquiring them. So I think it feels to me like communities in that thing where people are going, oh, okay, this is a, it is actually, they don't yet invest enough in it to appreciate the value enough of it, because maybe the business case hasn't been won enough
yet. And because it's split between the marketing side of things, because there is a sort of, you know, upsell lead gen opportunity once you've built the community, but also the CRM side, the customer relationship bit.
Yeah, I mean, most of the, you know, a lot of the case studies that are out there around community and B2B tend to be around customer service and support, which is fine, you know, online communities, to answer your question. But the, basically the business case is a cost-saving one, which is fine, you know, it saves us calls to the call centre and stuff. I find that it's fine. But I'm more interested in actually ones which are more the kind of marketing, which are actually about thought leadership, about expertise, about credibility, authority, to nurture people through your pipeline, towards a sale, or to do lead generation. If you are a thought leader in your area as a supplier or vendor or agency, then, you know, the point of community, or usually the business case, is still a lead generation one, ultimately, so that if those people are in your community, they can see and believe that you're an authority on what you're talking about, then as and when they come to actually having a buying need, they go, well, these are the clearly the people I should go to.
And this is the funny thing, actually. I mean, we're at either ends of this. You're with Guild during the communities where, you know, the bottom of the funnel, if you like, the community. We're at the top, making those relationships, connecting people. Our strap line is, you know, we make meaningful connections. Yeah. That's what we do.
Yeah.
So, but actually the words you're using are very much the ones that we would look to use. So it's
organic
right the way through, if you like.
No, I think, and it ultimately it's about relationships and connections. And your, say, I like the word meaningful as well, because I say sometimes I think, you know, we've all been guilty of chasing hits or followers or likes or, you know, count values. And again, a bit like spending on sales, it's easy to justify or make an ROI case just on big numbers. Everyone likes big numbers. But actually, almost always in B2B, in the end, it's not about volume, it's about value. And it's not about quantity, it's about quality. And, you know, and often in B2B, the, you know, just winning one customer can be worth an awful lot of money. Or, you know, the profit margins in B2B are typically much higher than B2C. So you can afford to invest in quality, meaningful relationships and connections in a way that in B2C can be harder to justify, because you have to go for scale.
So look, I'm going to have to wrap us up, because we're going to use the whole podcast. Because I'd love to, maybe we should have just a podcast for you. But in terms of, you know, where do we get started? So if there's B2B companies, you know, tuning in, listening to this, going, right, okay, that sounds good. What's my first step? Where would you start?
Well, I think for any community, you need a kind of why to it. So it's all about having an audience or a bunch of customers and prospects. But you've got to think, well, if I was going to, you know, why would they want to belong to my community? So it can't be just to sort of pump out our information or market our products and try and sell to people. There's got to be, you know, what are their pain points? Do they want to share trends, best practice insights, something to kind of give a meaning to that?
Somebody.
And then, and you also need somebody to sort of host it, or some people to host it. And again, this is a, you know, we could talk about this for a long time, but, you know, the art and science of community management, like who in your organization is going to do that? Because often we find, like, you know, you think maybe events people will be good. Actually, often they're not. Editorial people, surprisingly, not as good as you might think. Social media, marketing, PR, comms people, often quite good, but sometimes too junior. I think you need someone who's passionate and senior. And, you know, often the best communities, they're run by founders or co-founders and things. But in a big business, I think the mistake they make is the senior people sort of devolve it down to more junior people. I think they need to take personal responsibility a little bit more. So, you know, but I think there's a chap, R.D. Whitney, is a sort of shout out for him. He's just founded the Community Leaders Institute, which is for people in community, obviously. And he talks about MVC, which is this minimum viable community, which I quite like the idea. So he's saying, don't kind of massively overthink it and have to have a big, massive content plans and this, that, and the other. Just start somewhere, and it can be an email list. It doesn't matter what the tech platform is, but some kind of why or passion, find someone passionate and get going. You might only have tens of people, particularly, say, it works particularly well with senior, mid-senior people as well, who want to network.
So a small sort of networking group to start with, perhaps.
The whole point of community, again, as well, it is a communal thing. And so you can, I think brands are sometimes afraid they'll get it wrong or look silly, but you would go to community and say, look, we're going to try this thing. It might work, it might not. We're going to meet up, we're going to try and share. And what's the worst that happened? It doesn't work. We tried, and let's move on to something else. But I think brands are sort of a bit worried about doing that, and I think they should be less worried.
Absolutely. Right, it's a great note to leave it on. Thank you, Ashley, for joining us. No problem. We look forward to speaking to you soon. Thank you.
Thanks.
Well, that was really great. And I think, you know, having someone like Ashley on 20 plus years of experience in the industry, I think, brilliant interview. Love that.
Yeah, it was fascinating talking to him, because I just thought there's so many different aspects that we see from our side, you know, generally managing public, you know, communities for our clients, that join up with what he's doing from an internal, you know, managing smaller communities, niche communities. We're speaking the same language, but from different directions.
Yeah, I think so. And I think from what he was saying, you know, he used the Mark Zuckerberg example of having, you know, almost like a living room chat with your communities, and it's much more intimate. Again, it goes back to that authenticity point where it's, you know, people feel more comfortable out of public forums to be able to say things they want to talk about. So, yeah, I thought it was really good, really good points.
Yeah, and I took a quote, actually, I wrote down, you know, there's a trend away from social media into a more curated, private, controlled, vetted environment. Mm. And it's interesting, I wouldn't necessarily agree there's a trend away from the social platforms, but I think that brands are looking to take the journey further. You know, yes, we've got you engaging on our public channels, but now, you know, can we create this private environment for you as well?
Yeah, it's taking it up a step, isn't it? And having, you know, really getting under the skin of them and taking them away from, because the public, obviously, you know, we're massive advocates of the public community chat. And I think, you know, when you take it into a private forum, you probably can get a bit more out of them in terms of, you know, really the nitty gritty of what's going on and the pain points that they might not necessarily share in a broadcast.
That's it. I think the honesty piece that came out there, and I've seen that, you know, I've been into Guild, and we have a community for DigiComp for our event on Guild. And you do see, you know, quite large companies saying things like, I'm open to a new, you know, supplier for something. And that's not something you get on a public platform usually. So that there are genuine opportunities, I think, for that. And that sort of highlights the business case, as Ashley was saying as well, you know, that there is an opportunity to have more candid conversations to build the trust, which isn't necessarily as doable on a public platform.
Yeah, definitely. And I think from a thought leadership point of view as well, like, there's so much opportunity when you've got, you know, you bring together key experts and have them having a conversation together they might not feel comfortable with having in a public space. It's really powerful. And I think a couple of things that I actually jotted down while watching that interview was, you know, value over volume and quality over quantity. It's, you know, it's quite a simple ideology, but actually so effective.
Do you mean in terms of the number of people in the community or the conversations?
Both. I think, you know, you don't need to be thinking, oh my God, I need to be having X amount of conversations every month. It's really the quality of those conversations. You might have one really valuable conversation with someone in the community that could shape your content strategy for the next few months. Like, it could be a campaign idea or, you know, just general trends that you're seeing, and that one conversation is that kind of aha moment. You know, it can be really good. And then the fact as well about, you know, it's not a quick win. You do have to look at it from, you know, that long-term view. And it's something that we talk about with strategies for clients. It's all about having that, you know, not just necessarily thinking about tomorrow and, you know, what we're going to do, how we're going to achieve this by then. It's much more thinking about, right, let's put things in place today to get the results further down the line. But it's going to be, you know, rather start today than start in 6 months and wish you'd started today.
Yeah, yeah. And the investment case, you know, that I think was the last thing I spoke to him about. Yeah, trying to sort of understand where the value will come in terms of ROI from the community is often quite difficult. But there's the retention case there, and potentially because of that sort of candid opportunity, the new biz approach as well.
Yeah.
And I love the fact that he, you know, sort of repeated what Christine had said about providing a reason to join your community. You know, that's the first place you start.
Yeah.
Why would you join us? Why would you follow us? Why would you engage with us?
Yeah. Give them a reason and have a purpose.
Yeah, absolutely. Great. Well, that's a good point to end. I think we've had some fascinating insights from our guests today.
Yeah, really good.
Learned a lot as always. And so that's it for B2B Bites Back today. We'll be back in a month's time where we're going to be talking about paid social, all things paid. Insights for B2B, ABM advertising, all different topics like that. So please join us then.
Thank you very much. See you soon. Bye.
Cut.